There ain't no fluff. I'm just going to dive right into this. It's the news, according to me. And we are live. We are live. I forgot. I was going to record this separately as well, just in case, by the way. You just never know what's going to happen. What just happened to me? Where'd it go? Where did that go? I don't know where it went. It's all live, folks. Unfortunately, we're not going to have video today. That's the only thing I can't. I'm going to be unable on the video side of things. My mouse has failed me. I hate Mises to pieces. I have. There we go. I got the other recording up. I can always do another intro. If I need to, but yes. So here we are. It is May 14th, I believe. 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am your host, Kevin. We are live here on the on podcast, at least on Podbean. Not going to be any video this morning. I'm just not quite at the place where I can. If I'm going to have video, I'd like to be able to play video, which means I'd like to be able to show video on you know, not just the audio, but to do some video as well. Otherwise, you're just going to be sitting there staring at my face for, you know, behind a microphone like every other podcaster out there, which, you know, is not, has a certain amount of excitement to it. But it's just not, you know, it's not the same as being able to play video. That's coming. I'll be able to do that here shortly. Basically because of the technology I'm trying to put together. I want to make it seamless. I want to make it something I can take on the road with my laptop. And that makes it a little bit more difficult to get it all in the can in a way that I'm not going to be, you know, jostling around with different kinds of audio and that kind of stuff. So just be aware that we're working on that. Anyway, besides that, it is 2025. May 14th, 9:31 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm here with your with what's in my cup. I have chai with Almond Joy creamer in it. Big Train creamy chai, vanilla chai. My backup cup this morning is a little bit weird. It is, I've got this sweet tea from Wendy's, of all places. It's the generic sweet tea. It comes from a machine. It kind of bothers me when they have a machine that spews out anything that you push the button for. It'll do, you know, orange drink. It'll do Pepsi, Coke, whatever they got in there. Any kind of soda pops. As well as tea, which is weird to me. I don't know how it does that without, you know, conflagrating. It's got to be mixing things up in there. I don't know what's going on. It's because there's some left over in that little dispenser part, you know, part of the thing. So I don't know what that's all about. Anyway, today we're going to be talking about, there's a whole lot of news out there. By the way, I'm at the worldwide headquarters this morning. I'm not at my home studio. I'm at the worldwide headquarters of the news, according to me, with the new and improved router that we have here. I'm not going to say the name of the company I'm using because I don't want to give them any credit. They don't give me any discounts. So I'm not going to give them any. I think I'm paying more than what the current rate is. I saw a deal where you can get home internet. Now I might have the higher speed internet too. I don't know. But I'm paying a little bit more per month than this deal I saw. And I need to talk to him about it because I might be possibly overpaying. But maybe that's for first-time customers. You know how that goes. Oh, our first-time customers, we're going to give them a better deal. Well, then, you know, how about your long-term customers? How about those that have been with you forever? Well, not forever, but, you know, for a long time, years. Going to give me a break. They should give everybody the break, which most of them will do that. I just have to request it. If you don't say anything, they're not going to do anything about it. So, anyway. Call or text into the show. You can leave a voicemail. I'm not going to have live callers calling in, but you can call. I don't have a screen caller. Call screener. Because This is a low budget operation here. Okay, we got 812-379-8778. If you don't have a phone, or if you're out of the country, which many people who listen to the show are actually, you can use Google Voice. So you go to google.com/voice and you type in that number, and that will give you the ability to leave a voicemail or a text message, which I will either play your voicemail on the show, or I will read your text message. You can respond, and we can have this dialogue, kind of quasi-delayed dialogue, which I control. So it's much like dealing with a government agency. We have a couple of things I want to talk about today. One of the things I wanted to talk about, and in Friday, that there's going to be I think what I'm going to do is just have most of my audio clips that I'm going to play on Friday. There's another case now of another Trayvon, by the way. Don't get this confused. I was watching this thinking, well, this happened years ago, because it kept talking about Trayvon. Well, apparently, Trayvon got shot. I don't know. Another Trayvon is gone now. Trayvon Johnson, I think is his name. Very different situation here. He gets shot because he busted into somebody's home. And of course, the parents and everybody else are sticking up for this kid. You know, he shouldn't have gotten shot just because he busted in, because he was trying to get money for food and school supplies and stuff. Because he really loves education. He loves the kid looks like a thug. I'm sorry. He looks, you know, if this kid walked up to you in a dark alley, you'd be concerned. I'm not trying to judge people on their appearance, but I am. And it's just one of those things. It's just certain appearances have certain connotations to them, folks. It just does. I mean, who was the one? A lot of serial killers look like normal guys next door, and some of them are normal guys next door. In fact, there's a house in Illinois near Chicago. It's in a kind of quasi-suburb area. And it's actually very close to a hotel that I stay in a lot. What was the guy's name? He dressed up as a clown. This was back in the 70s or 80s. He would dress up like a clown and do these shows for kids and stuff. But he was a freak. He had like 30 bodies or something buried in his house. In the basement in the yard. And he would toy. He knew the mayor, which didn't mean much at all because that was Mayor Daley. I think the original mayor, Daley. Might have been his son. I don't know. And he was kind of well known in the community and kind of, you know, one of those people, but he was guy next door kind of guy. And all of a sudden come to find out and of course now this house that he lived in was actually very close to a hotel that I often stay at in Chicago. So I found out what the address of this place was, and I actually drove past it. It's just in the middle of it's just normal little suburb house. Just a bunch of houses all look the same. They're all next to each other. There were houses 50 feet from his house. Normal neighborhood, just there it is. The house is still there, I think. I don't know if it was torn down and rebuilt. I don't know what was there, but the property, the address is still there. Same address. I can't imagine living in that place. I wouldn't want to live there. It's freaky. I just want to drive by and gawk. So that's what I do. I'm a gawker. So anyway, where's I going with that? But this has been happening. And I think people are getting tired of this. In fact, there's something called, what is it? Fatigue, black fatigue now. And it's not just white people. Now Mark Dice goes a little, he's out there on the edge of this thing. He pushes back really hard, probably harder than I would push back, but he pushes back on this whole thing because it's called black fatigue. And it's this whole thing of, we're just tired of this, of the race baiting all the time. And it's, everything's about race. Everything is, you know, just like this woman who used the N word. Now she called someone an N word. Just being able to say the word. I should be able to just say the word in context and be able to say it. Just be able to, because I'm talking about the word. I should be able to say the word. I'm not calling somebody that name. I'm not calling somebody that word. But some people claim that they're so offended and so terrified and so horrified by that name, by that word, that they can't, it would just throw them into traumatic, you know, the trauma that they would go through if they heard someone, especially a white person, even just say the word. Well, you might want to consider some counseling because I don't know how you listen to any music. I don't know what kind of music you listen to, but if you're listening to, you know, modern culture, you know, anything from the ethnic population that you're worried about, they're using the word all the time. So apparently it's not the word, it's who gets to say it. Because we can criminalize it. And this guy on the playground who happened to be a guy who apparently never was convicted, I guess, but he was arrested for child abuse, assault against a child. He's out there on a playground with his video camera. Well, he wasn't the parent. In fact, the parents haven't spoken up about this kid who got called this name. Supposedly autistic. I don't know. I think everybody's autistic now, but he makes this, he claims to this lady, well, that's, you know, that's hate speech. You can get arrested for that. You can go to jail for that or whatever he says. He says something about it. But basically at the end, he says, we'll see what the internet says about this. This brings up a good point. You know, we have what we call, the reason we have laws against things is because society has decided this is unacceptable in our society and we will punish you and separate you from society, put you in jail, put you in prison, or make you do community service or whatever it is, or, you know, whatever it is. And we've decided as a community, we've decided that this is unacceptable and we're going to, because it goes against, you violated someone else's rights. Therefore, we will punish you, take away some of your rights after due process. In other words, a jury of your peers, or whether it's whatever kind of, you know, misdemeanor, whatever it is, whatever kind of trial it is, needs to be. And that's how it functions. That's how society functions at that point. So you go before, you know, with your evidence and you do your thing. That's how you litigate those kinds of things. Well, then, so why do we have this other thing? And I can hear the left now. I know what they're going to say about this. They're going to say, well, it's a social contract that we have. It's a social contract. If you say something wrong or do something against someone else, even though it may not be a crime, you may not have committed a felony or a misdemeanor or whatever it is. It may not be a crime on the books, but we're going to punish you throughout all eternity now because you did something wrong or because you're whatever you are. So society is going to punish you now, and you should never get, you know, be able to get employment or whatever. Pierce Morgan actually was trying to defend his viewpoint on his show. Pierce has some weird ideas, and this is, of course, he's from Britain, so there's differences there. They don't have the things that we have in our constitution. Things like, in fact, there's people, just speaking of constitutions, the South African constitution is being lauded as being better than our constitution, which is baloney. We'll get into the Afrikaners here in just a little bit. I mean, so this racial thing has gotten out of control and people are tired of it. There are even folks in the black community who are coming out and saying, we're sick of this. We're tired of this crap. It's not doing anything for race relations. We're going to call race relations or ethnic relations. We're all part of the human race, by the way. This is why I struggle with this whole thing of having racial issues between. It's just, it's one race. We're all humans. Don't let the BLM people, you know, hear that, because they think that there's, you know, if you say all lives matter, you're taking away from their scam, basically. You're taking away from their grift, and they don't like that. So we have the normal stuff out there is that we if you say something wrong, then you apologize. And then the rest of it doesn't matter if you apologize. They want you to apologize first. Once you apologize, then it's over. It's over for you. Okay, we got them to bow the knee. They apologized. Now we're going to just go ahead and erase them from society. This lady didn't apologize. She said what she said, and she's not going to apologize. And I have to say, even though I don't agree with what she said, and I would never have said it, I don't think I would have. I have to commend her for just standing up for what she said, not apologizing, because that's not going to get you anywhere in our particular society that we have right now. In the culture that we have right now, apologizing does not get you anywhere. In fact, your son can be killed by someone else, and you can forgive them. Practically apologize for having your son get in the way of his knife. And you're still the evil one. You're still the bad guy. You're not allowed to come to our public meeting. You're not allowed here. You're being disrespectful. Excuse me? I'm not going to say he's more courageous than I am. I wouldn't have stood for that. It's not a matter of forgiveness at that point. It's a matter of justice. It's a matter of, we can't just, forgiveness is one thing. Rolling over is a whole other thing. There has to be accountability. And when there's not, it just continues to escalate and gets worse. It just encourages more of the same thing. This guy claims to be a Christian. He claims to be, well, the Bible says I'm supposed to forgive and it doesn't matter. Well, yeah, exactly. But that doesn't mean that there aren't consequences, that there needs to be some kind of accountability for the actions that were done. And we can't just roll over to this stuff. It just amazes me how some Christians act with that thing. I've had this argument. I grew up in a faith that was basically a pacifist. I think you would call them pacifists. Now, they became more and more that way as time went on. There was another denomination that was the same affiliation with each other. They were kind of brotherly affiliations, denominations, whatever you call it. The other one was total radicals. They were the hippie generation from the 60s basically took over this particular denomination, and which happened with a lot of denominations, by the way. And because they did it, as they were doing that, one of the things that they pushed for was peace, you know, anti-military, anti-war, all that stuff, which is all well and good. You know, there are the warmongers out there, and then there are those who simply think that the idea of any kind of resistance is wrong. That's just not what Jesus taught. He taught us to be passive. No, he didn't actually teach us that. But that gets into a much deeper subject. We don't have time to cover that today. But just think of it this way: if you simply allow everyone, if you allow all the Christians to God's going to step in and save. That's not the way it works. If you allow all the Christians to just roll over and be killed, or all the Jews or whoever it is, any group of people with no accountability. This is much like on a much softer level. Let's talk about it this way. I have a relative, former relative. He's married to a relative of mine who passed away and is no longer. He's kind of once removed or whatever, twice removed. I don't know, whatever you call it. By the way, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a genealogist. I'm also not I got something in my throat here. I'm also not a financial counselor. So any kind of advice I give you, just take it with a grain of salt. Just do your own research. But this fellow, I had some differences with him. And it was this one thing about Christians voting. One of his things was he didn't vote. He doesn't vote. in any elections. And I ask him, why don't you vote? What's your theological, what's your premise, what's your doctrine there on that whole thing? Well, separation of church and state. That was the only thing he told me. So you don't think any Christians should vote then? You don't think we should be participating? As you're living, you think that's the right way to live, and you don't think any Christians should vote? Well, I'm not going to tell other people how to live. Okay, well, I assume that you're doing it, the way you're doing it is you're doing it because you think that's the right way to do it. Yeah. So you think that all Christians should do it that way because it's, well, obviously that's, you know, kind of what you think. That's your moral conviction. Well, yeah. Okay, so if all the Christians don't vote, if everybody follows your lead here on this, and they decide that, okay, you're living by a biblical principle there, and we should all, none of us should vote. Who's left to vote? Who's left? The only people who are going to be voting are going to be the, quote, ungodly, or the unbelievers. And who knows what we're going to end up with at that point. It's just, we have no... There's no moral pinnings necessarily in a society like that. So it just kind of amazes me at that point. So that kind of goes hand in hand with what we're talking about here. If we don't stand up for justice, if we don't resist, and of course the argument I always had with people who claim to be pacifists, I said, well, are you like 100% pacifist, or are you? Oh, absolutely. I'm an absolute pacifist. I'm a pacifist absolutist. Oh, okay. Do you have a lock on your door? Do you put a lock on your front door? Do you lock it at night? Well, yeah. But that's just, you know, that's not, that's passive. That's a passive, you know, lock. It's not being offensive. Oh, well, but it's resistance. You're resisting. You're locking your front door. You're keeping them from coming in. That's resistance. And they use the term non-resistance. So you won't resist. Of course, the other obstacle that I like to place in front of them is, how many daughters do you have there, and you're living in your home? Well, I have two. I have two girls, two boys, whatever. One boy, two girls, whatever it is. How many? So you got your wife and your daughter and whatever else it is there. So someone breaks into your home and you go ahead and resist. Or you don't resist. I'm sorry. You decide you're not going to resist. So you just allow them to do whatever they want to. Well, they can kill me. I don't care. I'm ready to go. I'm a believer. I'm ready to go. I have no problem with that. Oh, okay, good. And my kids, you know, we're all saved and everything. Oh, okay, good, 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 good. What if they just tie you up and then they force you to watch as they have their way with your wife and your kids? Well, you know, it's just God's will. No, it's not. It's not God's will. It's not. I was up my dog. He just got up. You think that person's doing God's will at that moment? That's insane. That's just asinine. He's given you the ability to resist that. And you need to stop it for that other person's sake as well. And for the sake of everybody else that's going to be attacked after they leave your house. You have no compassion for anybody else that person could, or the person who's actually committing the crime. It's better to stop them from actually committing the crime than it is to let them commit the crime. Especially if it emboldens them to do it again. I don't know where my dog went, actually. Oh, there he is. He's back there scaring himself. I woke him up from his little nap. I was yelling. He thought I was yelling at him. Yeah, there you go. Shake it off. We have, so there is more and more. Now I could play, there's all kinds of videos. There's video after video. There's probably hundreds of videos now on TikTok and everything else of these people who have decided that the like this deal with this little kid, this woman in the at the playground who called this young boy. He's somewhere between 5 and 12 years old. That's all we know at this point. He looks like he's 12. This guy claims he's a baby. He's just a little kid. He's just a little baby. He's just a little child. Now, she was holding a baby. It was probably less than a year old, probably, or maybe a year, maybe two. Less than two, let's put it that way. She's holding this child, and she's in the park, and apparently this kid came up and took some of her stuff, and she called him a name and tried to get her stuff back. That's when this guy started recording the whole thing. He recorded it after it all happened. So we don't have any evidence of what actually happened other than just her admitting to it. There are people out there now who are saying that they're worried about this kid. Her child is going to be raised now to be a racist as well. He's going to be raised in that family. Someone should save that little child by, and he's offing the child. Because that baby's going to grow up to be a problem. He's calling for basically the arrest and prison, imprisonment. They're calling for all kinds of things. This lady should be arrested. She should be put in prison. We're calling a child. I'm sorry. She didn't break any laws. Freedom of speech is ugly. Freedom is ugly sometimes. With great freedom comes great responsibility. The ability to keep and bear, to own and to carry, it's a huge responsibility. It's a great freedom, but it's also a great responsibility. And you best be very careful with it. But that's not the way folks see it anymore. So freedom of speech, I would say, is, some people would say it's more dangerous. I said this one time. I said this one time to someone who's, oh, I don't want to mention any names. I said, the whole thing of sticks and stones may break my bones, but, words will never hurt me. And before I got it all out, I said, sticks and stones may break my bones. Because he was talking about his child was being called a name or something, whatever it was. Well, sticks and stones will break my bones. And he goes, but words will really hurt me. He finished it with that. And I get it. I understand. Words can be painful. I'm a person who has, I don't know if you ever heard of the five love languages. I don't know, whatever. But the, there's probably some weight to what Smalley wrote. But words make a big, words are a big deal for me. How people speak to me. I can't say I'm the best orator to other people as well, but when people speak certain words to me, it can cut pretty deeply. And so I get that. I understand words can be very devastating. But physical pain, when you talk about abuse to a child, well, I spoke nicely to them, but I beat them with my belt, but I spoke nicely to them. What do you think is going to have the most... You don't think it's going to cause damage to them at all? Violent acts? Physical acts? How does that work? So I don't know. It's a weird place we live in, this culture, because we have all these modern day conveniences that we have allow us time to do some things that we don't otherwise wouldn't otherwise have time to, mess around with. So that's where I'm at with this whole thing as well, is that we have this, the issue of too much entitlement, I guess, too much cush. Well, we have to have what everybody else has. They have the Nike shoes. They have the Xbox. They have whatever it is that they game, the Game Boy, whatever it is. And by golly, we should have that too. And if we can't get it, well, then we should just take it. Because, you know, how else are you gonna you can't, how else are you gonna survive in this, you know? So I need to break into your house. I need to take these things away, or I need to sue you, or I need to start a GoFundMe, or whatever it is. And what's happened with this lady who called this kid a name? She now I think she's raised I think she's has raised at least $700,000. I think was what's been donated to her. And of course, what's the, I think that this is, you know, right in the aftermath of everything that happened down in Texas with this young man who stabbed another boy and killed him, who has now raised a whole lot of money in his for his defense lawyers, basically. And there are all kinds of rumors flying around about what happened that day. Now, there's video of this event. They're not releasing it. And you know why? I guarantee you, they've had video for months now. And it's if it would have been a situation where this kid was acting in self-defense and everything was on the up and up, I guarantee you that video would be everywhere. It's nowhere. So this case against this kid is, of course, this is going to cause all, they're stirring themselves up, for, they're setting themselves up for failure here because they're all calling it, they're calling this an act of self-defense and it's about time, you know, somebody stood their ground and, you know, he went into the tent because it was raining. He wasn't. There's a whole lot of things going on here that there's a whole lot of rumors flying, all this kind of stuff that's going on. He went into this tent. Sat down in this chair, wouldn't get up because, you know, after all, he, you know, this other kid was a white supremacist and said, you don't belong here. And all kinds of weird stuff like that. And of course that ensued into this deal where he asked him to leave and he didn't want to leave. And he, you know, he basically stood his ground and then he stabbed the kid with a cleat sharpener, which doesn't, it was a knife, folks. It was a cleat sharpener. Look on Amazon, try to find a cleat sharpener. It just, there's nothing. Whatever. You put new cleats in. When the cleats get dull, you just put the new cleats on. A cleat sharpener would be a file. Okay, if you're going to file, you're going to sharpen something with your cleats. If they're metal cleats, they're going to be, it's going to be a file. People don't get stabbed with files very often. Because they're not very effective. Not that I'm an expert on stabbing people, but there we go. The hot chai is better. That just kind of warmed me all the way down. That's the state we're in right now with our society. And it's this weird thing of you can go on and on and on about these people who are making remarks about defense of Carmelo, of the attacks on the lady in the park, just on and on and on with more and more of this stuff. And it's not only just outrageous, it is kind of alarming and almost, I would say almost to the point of being frightening. And the reason I say that is because as we delve into the issues here, it's a growing thing. It's not going away. It is a culmination now of the, and I would say an outgrowth of the downtrodden struggle that exists in the what is called the Black Liberation Theology movement within the churches. When you have folks who are reverends, who are, you know, I mean, Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson for many years have been the purveyors of what it would be called race baiting. They've made their living off of racial tensions, ethnic tensions. And of course, if you eliminate it, they've done nothing to offer any solutions to solve the problem, other than reparations, and that's not going to solve the problem either. I guarantee you, if you pass reparations, of course, now there's all kinds of arguments against reparations, and I'm opposed to reparations. First of all, and it's Charlie Kirk has probably one of the best arguments. He's doing like a public forum where he's answering questions, and people are asking, this person says something about reparations, and he goes in this whole spiel. The gist of it is, and the biggest problem with it is, you're asking people who have never been slaves to be paid out of the pockets of people who've never owned slaves. And Brandon Tatum did a really good argument with some people as well. One of the first slave owners in this country was a black man. I think he actually was it's been determined that he actually was the first slave owner in this country. Now, the people who sold the slaves in Africa, who collected the slaves and sold them to the white man, were also black people. They were also Africans, not Afrikaners. We'll get into that in a little bit. They were Africans, native Africans. There were no slave ships that went directly, by the way, no slave ships that went directly from Africa to what we now know as the United States. None. Zero. Period. They all went into the islands, and they were traded from there and came up from the islands. Now, just to be historically accurate there, one of the first countries to absolve slavery was the United States. And of course, the Democrats, by the way, were the ones who owned slaves. South was the Democrats. Jim Crow was a Democrat, as I've mentioned before. Segregation was caused by Democrats. 100% of the Republican Party voted for the Civil Rights Act. The Democrat Congress filibustered it, and they all voted against it. I think most of them voted against it. There might have been one or two that voted for it. I don't know. Now, all of a sudden, they're your heroes. And it's the Republicans who are they're the racists. They were the party of the North, fought to end slavery, voted for the Civil Rights Act. I can go on and on. There's a whole list of things that the Republicans have done for civil rights in this country. And yet you would think they're the ones, they're the evil ones, because they don't give us any kind of reparations. They don't give us welfare. They don't give us, folks, welfare was intended to keep you down. It was intended to keep you as a slave labor class. That's exactly what it does. Reparations, by the way, as I was talking about that, you could go ahead and pass reparations, get them all put into place. Everybody agrees. Here you go. Here's your $1 million apiece for every person who's a descendant of a slave. And if only one of your parents was descendant of a slave, then you get 50% of that. So you can only get $500,000. Whatever, however they want to do it, make it fair with that, because it won't be. And the rest of us are left to pay for it with our taxes. Even though we'd never owned slaves. My family was basically sold into slavery when they came here. Indentured servitude, by the way, is when you get kidnapped and get sent to, you know, that didn't happen just once. That wasn't just my family. There was a lot of families that happened to, by the way. They came here and had to pay for their voyage, even though they were kidnapped on the boat in Europe, and brought over here, then had to pay for they had to spend two sessions of indentured servitude, which I think was like 14 years. And where's my reparations? I'm not asking for them, but where are they? What's the deal here? My family was wronged. My ancestors were wronged. It's just ridiculous for me to think that somebody else is going to pay for that. Justice should have been done to the people who did the act, not their descendants. And I'm hearing this now from about the Afrikaners now, where it says, well, I'm going to get into that a little bit. The Afrikaners, they're not Africans. Can't call them Africans. They're Afrikaners. The some Europeans went down to South Africa and colonized the area for, I think, about 400 years ago is when it started. And of course, there was something called apartheid, which is like segregation. I don't know everything that much about all the apartheid stuff. All I know is Nelson Mandela was part of that. Folks, Nelson Mandela, by the way, was not the saint that everybody makes him out to be, by the way. And if you want to look into something, there's a couple of documentaries made. One of them was really very detailed about what happened. And I remember it. I was old enough to know and see things on television. And so I saw all the stuff that was going on, or reporting that was going on. And I know a lot of it was whitewashed, literally. But there were factions there. The Tutus and something else. There was different factions in South Africa who were fighting for power once the apartheid had ended. Once they were, you know, basically going to give the government back to the people, kind of thing. There was a bloody slaughter that was beyond belief. I mean, the atrocious things that were happening during that time. It was a civil war. That has now spilled over. Now that there is these factions that have risen up now to the point where they're in leadership and they're major political parties. They're calling for the death of the white man in South Africa, especially the farmers. Hundreds, if not thousands of them have been killed with no repercussions. Just, well, because you took the land, it should be returned back to us. And now, of course, they're having food problems there. They're having starvation. They're having, because the farmers are being, for the most part, neglected. There's killing the farmers. Nobody knows what to do with the farm. They don't know how to operate anything. They can't. So now there's no food there. So economically, of course, that is, if you listen to my show about the basics of economics, you'll understand that food is one of the primary basics of economics. Food production. So they're cutting off their nose despite their face. And if they stay there, they'll probably be killed. There's like 54 of them that have just received asylum here in the United States. And the left's heads are blowing. They're just exploding because they're white. They can't be refugees. They're white. For some reason, white people can't be refugees. And then the audacity. Now, I'll be playing some clips of this stuff on Friday. The audacity of this one lady said, well, they should go back to where they came from, for their ancestors, to Europe, where they came from. Oh, really? So, if someone wants to leave this country, or they're seeking asylum or whatever, shouldn't they be going back to their country? What kind of an argument is that? Well, they should be going back to their country. Someone recently made the comment that Ilhan Omar should go back to her country. And the only reference to this, the only context that this was in was, you know, you came here, you fled from Somalia to come here because, well, guess what? You were being persecuted there. You could never have been in the government there. Wouldn't have happened. Because you're a woman. You come here, and now you're worth, I think, is it $7 million she's worth? It's some ridiculous amount of money. All while making at the time it was $175,000 a year salary. Trust me, that is not enough. Especially the kind of lifestyle they have to live. And, you know, living in D.C. is not cheap, and living in Minnesota, Minneapolis, Minnesota is not cheap either, but for that matter. But she travels back and forth between the two places, and she has to pay for her own travel. She gets a government stipend of some kind for travel expenses, but it's not like they're... So where's all the money coming from? My wife and I are making more money than we've ever made in our lives. As a household income, and it still feels like we're living paycheck to paycheck. Now we're setting aside money for retirement, but food. I used to go to Wendy's all the time, and I would get a number two double plain with cheese, small fries, and large sweet tea. It was always, I think it was, what was it, $3.85, something like that. Something, this was in Chicago. Next thing I know, it was $5.25. So, you know, this was within a few years, back in the 2000s, no, it was 20 years ago. Back when I was a kid, 20 years ago, I remember when I used to buy it, whatever it was. Well, now it's over $10 now. And most places you go to, it's, I think it was, I think I got basically that same thing the other day. I hardly ever eat at Wendy's anymore. Long John Silver's is actually still pretty cheap. And the, but I remember just not that long ago, things were very inexpensive. We had things like, I could go to Chick-fil-A is still pretty cheap, actually, still pretty affordable. I would go to a place like Long John Silver's, for example. I'd get, you know, the two fish meal and corn and whatever else and the sweet tea, whatever. And it was like $7 or $8. It's over 10 now. It's just within the last couple of years. You know, when I go to a restaurant, my wife and I used to get the 2 for $20 deal, where you get two meals for $20. Kind of pick and choose for a certain menu. They could pick certain things. That doesn't happen anymore. It's hard to go to a Chili's or an Applebee's, two people. And I'm not talking about buying drinks. I'm just talking about buying regular, you know, my wife usually drinks water with lemon. I usually have a sweet tea. By the way, sweet tea the other day at Popeyes, I forgot to mention this. I got a sweet tea at Popeyes the other day just to try it out. Swung through there. In the drive-thru. Now, maybe they charge more at the drive-thru. I don't know. $4. $4 for a sweet tea. Wasn't that long ago that McDonald's was charging $1 for any large drink. They were all $1. I know that McDonald's doesn't do that anymore. I think it is $4 at the airports. But no better than the tea was, I was a little bit shocked by that. Tea is a very inexpensive drink to make, by the way. Sugar prices haven't gone up that much. And speaking of inflation, we were all told that the tariffs were going to kill the economy. Oh, we're killing the economy. We're crashing the economy. We're crashing the world trade is never going to be the same. Well, we're making all these enemies out of us. All the experts were telling us that the economy was going to crash, that unemployment was going to be terrible, the inflation was going to go be ridiculous. Prices were going to double. Inflation is down. Latest reports just came out a couple days ago. It's down below where they thought it was going to be. And it's down lower than what it normally is. It's actually down to a level last seen in February of, guess when, 2021. Right after Biden took over. The entire time Biden was in office, inflation was higher than it is right now. And we were told that Trump was crashing the economy, messing everything up. And of course, China now has, well, I think it was within 90 days or 30, 60, it was 60 or 90 days or something like that, within so many days, within a couple, next couple months, all the tariff stuff is going to be reduced ridiculously. I think our reducing ours down to like 30%, there's going to be 10%. It was a crazy, crazy decision made just immediately. Just, of course, they were looking at catastrophe in their economy. They're just not in a position right now to make any kind of things. And of course, minerals deal with Ukraine came back to the table and apparently it's been signed. Economically, we are in much better shape than what we were told we were supposed to be. And all of the experts, these panels of experts, apparently need to take some lessons from you know who. Now, I don't know how, apparently Trump spent some time while he was gone for 4 years. And this would not have happened. I'm kind of grateful that in some ways that Trump did not serve two terms in a row. it gave him 4 years to kind of sit back and say, okay, I know how this stuff works now. Here's what we're going to do with trade. Here's what we're going to do with industry, with energy, the energy sector. Here's what we're going to do with the basic market. Here's what we're going to do with, you know, housing and construction and all, education, all health, all this different stuff. And it's not always the person at the top, and it's not always the figurehead that they throw in there, like this RFK Jr. thing. He's a guy, even though his voice is really difficult for me to listen to, he is a guy who makes sense a lot of times about the whole thing with just and that's the whole thing about this entire administration is they're looking at common sense solutions to make things change for the better, period. This guy's been in office for 3 months, going on 4 months. He basically has a year to get some things done. He's already getting a lot of pushback from some of the establishment Republicans, or what, quasi-establishment Republicans, because they're concerned about the election year coming up, the primaries and everything else that's happening this fall. You know, they can shoot themselves in the foot if they want to, but it's ridiculous for them to not get on board. There are things that they are pushing back on that, in my opinion, are going to hurt them politically. Because over and over and over again, Trump is showing himself to be in the 80% of where the country wants things to go. And he's getting that job done. He's actually doing things. And there are actually Republicans standing in the way in many cases. You're always going to have the butthurt Democrats out there doing their little demonstrations on the particular political football of the day, yelling and screaming about all the things that they don't like. You killed me because I'm dead. Oh, I've been killed. I've been murdered. I've been whatever. Whiny cry. You called me a name, or you did this, or you did that. Or, oh, Doge is going to take away all this funding for USAID. Oh. Yeah, okay. And then we start finding out more about the details. They throw out these things all the time, and then they walk away and ignore the fact that they were wrong. That's what bothers me the most about so many of the leftist propaganda stuff that I see on social media. They throw this stuff out there. Half the time it's well, you know, it's shaded. I shade Nashban. You know, that's, it's shaded. In other words, it's covered up. They don't give you the whole truth, or they give you partial truth of something, and they spin it, and they do both some things. And it gets to the point where it's, talk about black fatigue. This is Democrat leftist lunatic fatigue. It's the woke fatigue stuff. Now, my wife was asking me about this whole thing. She saw somebody was asking about what the woke right is. I'm going to dig into that a little bit more tomorrow. Going into the definitions of some things about the woke right and what that all means, just some of the different things that are being protested out there right now. And of course the heads of the left are constantly just exploding about anything that Trump does. If he decides to do something, just look, drug prices for years. And the reason for this is because Big Pharma is in the pockets of a lot of politicians. Now, what has happened here, and now there's more to that whole story than that. I'm just going to touch on it really quick here because I got to end the show here real quick. Basically, what you have is you have the Big Pharma selling drugs to the, you know, medicines to the United States, to people in the United States, for 5 to 6, sometimes 10 times more than they sell them at other places in other countries. And the whole theory there is, well, you know, because America's so prosperous, we can afford to pay for these things, and that helps to subsidize medicines to other countries. So we're subsidizing the entire world's medical expenses because we can afford it. The reason we can afford it is because a lot of people have insurance. Now, if you don't have insurance, or if your health insurance doesn't cover it, or they make these negotiations with the medical companies, they only pay for certain drugs, Now you're on the hook for all this stuff, or you can't get it, simply can't get it. There is this cabal between the insurance companies and medical providers for medicine, for either pharma or any kind of other medical supplies, that insurance has their finger on. And of course, if you can't afford the insurance, so this is where people get all wound up. And this is the reason they can charge so much is because insurance will cover it. They'll pay for it. That where that money then goes is back to the coffers of the lobbyists who are in the pockets of the politicians who don't want to change things. Trump comes in, doesn't care. He can't be bought. It's one of the things that JFK or RFK Jr. was describing the other day. And Big Pharma can't own him. So he's coming in basically saying, you know what? We're going to have a favored nations policy. If you offer that drug at that price to someone in wherever it is, Iceland, wherever it is, South America, whatever, that's the same price we're going to pay. In fact, I think the deal is we're going to pay 2% less, whatever it is. And that person's going to pay. Now, they'll find a way around this. They will probably charge everybody that price. Now, say the drug is $1,000. $1,000 for this bottle of pills. They'll probably charge $1,000 to everybody, but then they're going to give incentives. They'll figure it out. They'll figure out a way to do it. Of course, hopefully the law is going to be foreseeing those kinds of things and making it say that you can't get any kind of kickbacks, you can't get any kind of incentives, you can't get any kind of bonuses, whatever it is that's going to come back, rebates, whatever it is that they're eligible for, unless we're eligible for the same thing. So we'll see how that works out. But it's at least it's pushing back on some of it. So basically what it amounts to is everybody's going to pay the same price. And Big Pharma's not going to get away with this thing where they subsidize other countries by making us pay more. So brilliant. I think it's brilliant. Brilliant strategy. And again, I don't think Trump's coming up with all this. I think Trump has a team of people who are coming up with a lot of these things. And I think Stephen Miller is probably one of those people especially when it comes to immigration. Tom Homan is on top of things. He's basically got the guts and the resolve to make it happen and not care about what the leftists think. So I think we're in a good, we are really, if you saw what happened in, was it Saudi Arabia? They had the horses giving an escort to the beast, which is the big car that the limousine, presidential limousine, is driving through the streets, and they're all, every single one of the horse riders were holding an American flag. And they played the whole song, God Bless the USA, before he spoke. Everyone stood and listened to that song before he spoke. Now, you can say what you want. This whole thing about this gift from Qatar as well, this whole thing about the airplane, that's a gift to the United States. It's not a gift to Trump. They're saying it's going to be Air Force One. It goes to the Defense Department. The Defense Department owns the Air Force One. That's why it's called Air Force One. It's a military operation. Marines fly it. They're the pilots. So it's not this kind of thing where you have, or giving Trump an airplane. That's bribery. That's not bribery. It's being given to the United States. When Trump leaves office, it stays with the country. He doesn't take it home personally. And that's the rumor that's been out there. Looking into this whole thing, this goes to the Defense Department. And Trump says, well, it'd be stupid for us to turn down an airplane. I have to agree. That's like $300 or $400 million, at least. Of course, now it has to be equipped with all the stuff that's got to be on it. That's probably going to be another $300 or $400 million. But you might as well take the plane. It'd be stupid not to. And there's nothing illegal about it. Now, if it's a pay for play, if it's a quid pro quo, if it's some kind of a, you know, this for that kind of thing, then yeah, okay, then it's, then we got to look into that. If they're buying influence. But the ones who are screaming that are the ones who scream it because that's how they would operate, because that is how they operate. They get influence. That's how Biden operated. That's how Hillary Clinton operated. Bill Clinton did the same thing with the Chinese. I don't know how many of you remember. There's so many people staying in the Lincoln bedroom, and the Chinese ambassadors were in there all the time during the whole dot-com thing and everything was going on at that time, and how Nixon kind of started the push the snowball down the hill, and Clinton basically seized the day and made it all happen. Reagan pushed back against some of that stuff for a while, but by the time Clinton got into office, he made a big deal out of the whole Chinese thing. That's how our economy got where it is during the Clinton years, is by exploiting Chinese labor. Anyway, and that, of course, that started then the snowball was too big for everything. Anyway, that's all I got to say. That's all I got to say, Dick. Well, that's all I got to say. I want to thank everybody who's listening. There's a few people who made some comments in the chat. One of the things I got to say in the chat room on the Podbean, when I'm doing live, it's hard for me to see it and respond while I'm talking. So I have really almost no way of doing that. It just doesn't flow with my workflow. But if you want to call or text the show, it's 812-379-8778. So it's 812-379-8778. There you go. 812-379-8778. Call, text, anytime you want, 24 hours a day, and just leave a message, and I will probably respond. In the meantime, God bless. Have a great rest of your day. Friday, we'll have a lot of clips. Tomorrow, hopefully, I have a show extremely early to be recorded. Take care. See ya.